This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, everybody jump! 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 Everybody jump! Jump! Jump!
Ah, yes! Yes, yes! A good Wednesday morning. Happy Hump Day, one and all. It is Taz and the Moose with you. CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS. Can't play it talking. Number to call, 855-212-4227.
Attention hotline fans.
Mikey B, Pete the Body across the way. AB with your update. 6 to 9 we go. Eastern time we go. 3 to 6 Pacific. Right here, Monday through Friday. Good morning, Taz. How you doing, bro?
Hello, the Moose. Very excited to be here. As usual, you
sounded.
And I are doing our broadcast. Well, yes, I love what I do. You love what you do. That's why we're the best at what we do. And, yeah, we're going to talk a lot of sports, have some fun. We have a couple of really cool guests on also.
We do. We do. Houston Nutt will join us a little later on the program. And Brian McFadden, CBS Sports HQ NFL analyst, will join us as well coming up later on the program, too. And we'll get it going with some football. Why not, right?
Sure.
Because that's been continues to be around the National Football League we go, whether and a number of great storylines across the country. Do you see the new book coming out for Bill Belichick?
Yes.
About Bill Belichick.
About Bill, the making of the greatest football coach of all time.
Right.
It'd be tough to argue that. It'd be tough.
It would be tough based on what he's accomplished. Now people would look at certainly Deflategate and Spygate and every gate that's transpired up there in Foxborough. And maybe raise an eyebrow. I mean, I don't look at Belichick and factor in all that much. I still think it's very difficult to go out there and win football games consistently. The personnel has changed aside from the quarterback and Brady.
Yes.
The ability to continue to find way, adapt your style and change, be amoeba-like week in and week out. The team often gets better as the season goes along. Everybody's been waiting for the Patriots' brilliance to come to an end a couple years ago. They thought it ended I think it was a Monday night game in Kansas City. And then the very next week, they found themselves against the Cincinnati Bengals and destroyed Cincinnati, went on their very way, and went back to the Super Bowl that year. So I look at the brilliance of Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and the Patriots in this generation and what they've been able to accomplish. And Taz, I know there's been all the drama that surrounded him. I don't really look at it and say I think he's a product of that. I don't. I think Belichick is as good as it gets. I don't think we'll ever see a team accomplish and be as consistently great as the Patriots have been. I don't think I'll ever see it again in my lifetime.
I'm with you. Yeah, I have to agree for sure. I mean, you said something a few seconds ago about you know, the Patriots, and I'm paraphrasing how you said it, but basically that, you know, they're in it every year. I mean, no matter what we think, right, as the public or a media or fans
they
or whatever.
11-5 with Matt Castle after Tom Brady tore his ACL.
It's crazy,
opening
man.
Week that hit to the knee, which it's, changed the rule books
I know,
in the NFL.
That's correct, right. And the thing is, it's like me as a non-Patriot fan, I respect their, you know, how great of a franchise they are for all these years. But I'm not a Patriots fan. I'm more of a Patriot hater. And every year I'm waiting while it's like this time, all right, this is it. They're going to suck this year. Yeah, finally. And I end up being wrong every year. So somehow, some way they do it. And it's coaching. It's Belichick out the helm. Obviously, Brady to his greatness too. But, yeah, he's not a Bill, as we all know, right? He's not warm and fuzzy. But he runs that ship a certain way, and that ship usually goes the right direction. So it'd be tough to argue with that.
Yeah, and,
really
and interesting, Ian O'Connor, who's a you know, tremendous columnist and an author, you know, he works for ESPN now, spoke with 350 people in writing the book. He did not speak with Bill Belichick. It's due to be released on September 25th. And in it, as you start to get a little bit of a feel about what's going to be in this book coming out, it's basically one of the key components is going to be about the Brady-Belichick relationship because often they go hand in hand, right? Who has made who? Has Brady made Belichick? Has Belichick made Brady? arguably the greatest. They are the greatest coach and quarterback combo of all time, but individually the greatest coach and individually the greatest quarterback of all time. Now, here was a quote. A source told Ian O'Connor that if you're married 18 years to a grouchy person who gets under your skin and never compliments you, after a while you want to divorce him. Tom knows Bill is the best coach in the league, but he's had enough of him. If Tom could, I think he would divorce him. Adding that, you know, they've won 5 Super Bowls together in their 18 years. Brady grew so disenchanted with Belichick that in March he wasn't sure if he wanted to come back for his 19th season. But when New England traded away backup quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo to the 49ers, Brady felt obligated to return.
Yeah, and there's a lot. There's a lot to digest with that. There's also, I'm sure you saw what Tom Brady's sister said. His sister Nancy reportedly said about Tom concerning, he said, Belichick will definitely do to him someday what the Colts did to Peyton, meaning Manning. That's heavy. I mean, that's heavy. That's from Tom Brady's sister. So, listen, we've known that things aren't rainbows and butterflies in New England. We've started to see that as far as the way these guys feel about each other as people. They're not exactly warm and fuzzy buddy-buddy. It's not like, you know, Tom Brady's calling Bill Uncle Bill. You know, so or he's like a second dad to him. It's not like that. This is an old business thing. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think if you had Belichick in front of him, he'd say, listen, he probably don't care about any of this crap. He just cares about winning games. And he comes off strongly that way. I at the end of the day, right, that's what it's all about, winning games. But I mean, we know and we've heard former players say he's not a fun guy to play for, Bill Belichick. He's far from a coach's player, a player's coach, I should say, type of thing, you know, where he's at the relationship, you know. So it's definitely interesting. But I'm trying to remember when, and I think it might be in the book. So I'm trying to find a quote, but help me out, Moose, where it was something where once his age was mentioned, Brady's age was mentioned by Belichick, that's when Brady started getting a little concerned.
I forget the. I know what you're saying.
You know what I'm talking about. Yeah,
right. Well, I mean, he's 41 years of age.
Yeah.
So, people move on. I mean, we know the National Football League is a business. You don't often get better as you get older. Usually, your talents do recede, and they progressively get worse. Whether it be the quick twitch muscles, whether it be delivering the football, taking the hit, ability to take the hit, willingness to take the hit. Your body easily recovers, or it recovers easier when you're 25, 26, 30 years of age as compared to when you're 38 to 40, 41 years of age. So, I mean, I think it's an interesting book. And listen, O'Connor, I have a hard time when an author and you know, Ian's great, and you know, I know Ian a little bit, not well, but I mean, I know him. I've been around him and have chatted with him a number of times, but. And he does his due diligence. It's hard when you – and Belichick's never going to talk to him, so it's hard to do this kind of a book. He talks to 350 people. I'm sure the Belichick-Brady relationship is not all that great. We knew that last year. I'm sure Brady has grown tired of the style and fashion which Belichick coaches, especially if it's the same exact way time and time again. I mean, to be as accomplished as Tom Brady is, not that he has to have his rear end kissed, but to be constantly poked and prodded and needled and told what you can't do instead of being appreciated for what you have been able to do. I mean, just look at the comment that you know we had from Josh Miller when he joined us a couple weeks back after the Patriots won a playoff game and Belichick, and they're all celebrating, enjoying a good time because that's an accomplishment. I mean, to go through the regular season playoff game and Belichick walks in the room and basically tells the team to shut the blank up. We expected you to win a playoff game. And you're like, oh, my God, right tail between the legs, go back to the locker room, sit down. You're like, my God, what can we enjoy? So I guess that can wear on you over the course of time. Listen, Belichick, there's no doubt. I would not be fearful if Brady went to another team of him being treated the way Peyton Manning was treated because I think Brady handles pressurized spots a lot better than Peyton Manning handled pressurized spots. And that is the great differentiation between the two players.
I think what Tom Brady's sister, Nancy, it seems like what she was saying was, and you're right what you just said, I agree with you, but I think what she means that Belichick will definitely do someday with the Colts at the Peyton, I think she means because as Peyton Manning got older and stuff like that. I mean, he had some other physical issues. Obviously, Peyton did not like Tom Brady. I think that's what she means. Like, you know, situation where they're going to do him wrong as he gets older, put him out the pasture type thing. You know what I mean?
Oh, like that?
That's the kind of thing I think that's.
I mean, you look at the Colts handled, but look, I mean, the Indianapolis Colts stuck by Peyton Manning. They drafted Andrew Luck because Peyton couldn't throw the football.
I mean, how long do you want people to stay on a team, right?
Well,
think about it. You know what I mean?
Like, but I mean, I didn't look at it that way because I thought Indianapolis, I thought Ursay treated Peyton Manning well. They cut him loose.
Well, Nancy don't think so.
Well, I mean, but if you're Peyton Manning, you got cut loose. Andrew Luck stepped in, was the Colts quarterback, and he ended up going to the Denver Broncos and went to two Super Bowls. So, mm-hmm. I mean, if you're Peyton Manning, I mean, I'm sure Tom Brady, if I told Tom Brady, listen, you're going to leave the Patriots now, you're going to go to another team, and you're going to play in two Super Bowls, Tom Brady would probably sign on the dotted line.
Probably
I mean, that's
would.
Not, yeah, so that's not all that bad how it all went down for Peyton Manning. I think everyone gets into the drama of the New England Patriots. And this is what the National Football League needs more of, Taz, because we talk about the drama of the NBA a lot, and that plays into the popularity of the NBA. We get into the drama, and really it's more about political drama in the National Football League that is very divisive one way or the other, right? And I think that's where the drama is really, for the most part, surfaced in the NFL for the last 2 years. It's been like that. And I think that's taken away from the game. You need more of this because this is what the NBA builds off of. You need more of the Belichick, Brady, let's go on to the inner workings. You need to have more of what's going on in Pittsburgh. Le'Veon Bell holding out. Antonio Brown going after some guy, Nudnik, that used to work for the Pittsburgh Steelers and now works
work.
For the city,
yeah.
Right? And he's taking shots at AB.
Yeah.
And AB then not showing up at the Steelers facility. Not saying that's all good for the team, but drama does play.
Yeah.
Everyone buys into
it. Of course. I agree.
That's why daytime soap operas work for so many years. People love drama.
We have drama here on this show. Every day. Drama.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, my God. Drama. There's always something. Mikey B, Pete the Body fighting constantly.
Yeah, to the point where we could have one day we could all be getting along. The next day we could all hate each other.
That's
the way that this show goes.
It's ran on bar rhythm.
There's no punching.
It's just that we
don't talk to one another.
It's verbal punch. Right. It's misery. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. And then next day it's like, yes, I love it.
Slamming of the glasses.
Glasses case gets slammed.
Right, slamming of the glasses.
Great culture.
Right. It's really, it breeds success.
It's unbelievable.
Right. Right.
Well,
shut up. Well, not just that. It's just like, it could be a little bit more warm and fuzzy at times.
I know. Well, yeah.
I mean, at times. But
I know,
listen,
you're right. That's my fault a lot of times.
No, it's
I'm
not.
A little bit of a
hard-ass. It's all of our fault.
I take the blame.
No, you don't have to take any blame.
I'm not going to be like Belichick.
No,
I'm going to take the blame.
You're not. Listen, you're not Bill Belichick.
Thank you. I know I'm a lot nicer than him, I think. I think I'm a lot nicer than him.
Yes, I agree. He's got supposedly some great personality.
No, I know. I know he does. You know,
supposedly he's got an unbelievable...
Dude,
yeah.
I've talked about it before. You know, I don't know if you remember, but he's like a huge lacrosse fan, college lacrosse fan.
Yeah.
And Paul Rabil, who's, basically the greatest lacrosse player, around, for a lot of years, I should say, pro lacrosse player. He's very good friends with Belichick, and he had him on his podcast a while back, and it was you could see Belichick's personality. Belichick, when he's outside of that football facility, does, to your point, have a really funny personality.
Well, everyone tells you.
He seems like a pretty solid guy, to be honest.
He doesn't show it to you a lot, but he does have it. And I think as this book does come out, Taz, I think it'll throw another layer onto it. But I would make the argument to this. I think it'll bring the Patriots closer. Because I think the Patriots... where there, for some organizations, there is a fracturing and a coming apart. The Patriots, when there seems to be drama, they come together. They want to prove the naysayers wrong. They rally the troops. Brady gets angry. Belichick gets angry. And when that team gets angry, look out. Just look at a year ago. A year ago, Tom Brady and the Patriots, everyone focused on what they couldn't do. Then we got into all the drama about Jimmy Garoppolo getting dealt. What the hell are they doing trading Jimmy Garoppolo? And then the back and forth that Robert Kraft forced the deal. Belichick didn't want to trade him. Brady, he wanted Brady out after this upcoming season and ushered Garoppolo in. What happened? I know they didn't win it. They went to the Super Bowl. So I could make the argument that, you know, this Ian O'Connor book, as we all read it and get into it and read about all the drama that's going up in Foxborough, I'd make the argument that it's actually a good thing for the Patriots because I think, strangely enough, just like this very show, they thrive on drama.
I don't really agree with what you just said, though, about that whole other thing about the Patriots, but that last part was
they
funny.
They do. How do you not agree? Historically speaking, they do.
I'm still stuck on the last comment. It was very funny.
They thrived after Spygate. They thrived after Deflategate.
But this is a guy writing a book. I don't think, that, in my opinion, I think they're locked in on the Lions right now and Matt Patricia.
Well, last year was
I don't think they're paying attention to
oh,
it.
Oh, I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true in any way, shape, or form. I think Brady looks and reads everything. Brady still looks at the fact that he was drafted in the sixth round. Brady still looks at the amount of players that were drafted in front
of
him.
He's got a chip on his shoulder. That's
no
a good
doubt.
Thing. Right?
So he looks at this, and Belichick, they will look at this, and they will use it.
So he's a mock for himself. That's what you're saying.
I don't know if I'm saying that. They will use it, and it will help them. Because every other time that there's been issues surrounding the New England Patriots, they've gotten better as an organization and as a team. They have. Look at it.
I know.
Historically speaking, they have. They've used it.
The Deflategate stuff, I think, for sure. It's just if somebody's writing a book, like some jabroni's writing a book like this, yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know if that's going to
happen. Well, last year it was reports.
All right.
Last year it was reports about Brady, Belichick, and Kraft and who went to Garoppolo traded. And what happened? They went to the Super Bowl.
So you're going to the Super Bowl now?
I think there's a ceiling to the talent level of the Pats this year as compared to everybody
else. They'll get motivated
by
this.
But they will get motivated. Gordon, I think Gordon's got an opportunity to be a decided difference maker
for the New England
Patriots.
I agree with you.
I think it's a hell of an acquisition.
I agree with you. I totally agree with you on that. Absolutely.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Want to hear from you.
Yeah, that's right.
What's your take on the Pats, Belichick, Brady? Maybe not exactly see an eye to eye, Brady being frustrated. Do you think they'll build upon, use this as motivation here in 2018? Or do you say, not so much? Taz Moose with you, CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, football season is finally underway. And if you play fantasy football, the odds are you probably already hate your team and wish you could draft again. Well, on FanDuel, you can draft a new team every week. Check this out. I'm riding the Ryan Fitzpatrick, Fitz magic. What's it called, Moose? Fitz magic. Not to be confused with Mika Fitzpatrick. I'm riding that train. And if you're not a fantasy expert, then FanDuel is clearly the place to play. FanDuel has something for everyone, and there are more ways to win than ever before. New users get a $20 bonus when they make their first deposit on FanDuel. Come play with me at FanDuel.com/CBS Sports.
You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
You know, Moose, I was talking earlier, talking about the great FanDuel, and I nailed that read, by the way. And I was talking about Fitzmagic, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick. So for those that don't know, the rookie, awesome defensive back who's with the Miami Dolphins, Mika Fitzpatrick, he filed a freaking, like a copyright for the term Fitzmagic.
Good for him. Fitz magic.
It's not good for him, my friend. This guy's a rookie. No one looks at him as Fitz magic. He's stealing the other guy's gimmick. He's stealing Ryan Fitzpatrick's gimmick. Right in the state of Florida. One's with the Bucks, one's with the Dolphins. I don't know. I just thought it was crazy. And you're a rookie. And a lot of people in the league are like, dude, what are you doing? That's kind of a weak look. You know,
why is that? I mean, to the victim, I mean, Fitzpatrick, he's a Harvard guy. Should have done it before.
He should have. You're right. But he didn't. But the other kid he's a kid, too. He's a rookie.
Yeah.
And here he is. He's trying to capitalize on anybody using that name. It's smart what he did, but it's kind of like a Bush League move. I just think it's kind of weak. I got you.
It's
kind of funny.
Well, I mean, I guess
you don't see the humor in the whole thing.
No. It's not the matter. I don't look at it. I look at it as good business from his perspective.
I said, you don't see the humor.
Well, what's the humor?
The humor is that Ryan Fitzpatrick is friggin', I'm going to say the wrong word, is Fitzmagic, not Mika Fitzpatrick. So Fitzpatrick's family said, look, he's been Fitzmagic since he's a kid. Nobody knows that. Fitzmagic is Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Now you know.
Well, now we do know. But the guy trademarked it, capitalizing or trying to put a divider. in the Fitzmagic train. That's what I see on this. And you're a rookie making that kind of noise. I don't know. I just think it's a bad move. I think it's funny. Pitts magic. There's comedy in it. But I don't know. It's just. AB, you get me on this or what?
Yeah, it's hilarious.
That's great.
That's funny.
That's good morning show. That's funny, right, Moose?
No, that's funny, right, Moose?
I'm Andrew Bogus.
That's funny because that's what we do. We have nice conversational, fun morning show.
That's a good line.
All right, listen to this. Ready? This is 3, 2, 1, my mic's off.
That's a good line. All right. That's a good line. That was,
you guys bring the comedy. And I won't be here Friday. I hope you guys laugh your asses off Ollie's and have a great time.
Trust me.
Go ahead. Fitzmagic, Fitzpal, I'm done.
Personally, if someone, not everything Jim Brewer says, Sam Kinison, God rest his soul, Eddie Murphy, not everything they said in life was funny.
They all can't be winners, Tess.
Yeah. They're not all. Great. Listen, they're not all winners. So,
I shut it off manually.
I was just looking to see what the humor was, and you didn't describe anything humorous.
You, sir, don't see the humor in a lot of things I say.
No, that's not true. I do laugh at that.
You don't, and I see the humor in things you say.
Well, I see the humor. There was nothing. That is, to me.
That is funny.
What, that Minka Fitzpatrick trademarked Fitzmagic?
It's funny.
That's a good one, Moose. Sorry.
The Fitz.
I like it, Taz.
I mean,
that's all right.
Bisegli.
I'm shutting my mouth. No, Bisegli, what? What are you going to say? He's kissing my ass? He never kisses my ass. You say one thing. Oh, yes, Moose. Yes, Moose. Yes, Moose. You're right. Oh, yes, Moose. Anything you say, Moose. Yes, Moose. Oh, yes, Moose. Yes, Moose. You're right, Moose. Yes, Moose. Yes, you're right. Stop.
Listen, I can't. He sees brilliance. What can I tell him?
No. He doesn't see brilliance.
Yes, he does.
I don't know what he sees.
Personally, he's told me that.
Do you know, Mike? He does not see brilliance.
He sees cats.
Yeah, I don't know what he sees. The guy's nuts.
We've had these conversations. Numerous.
Long drive home,
give him a call. He's like, listen, your brilliance is just amazing. I'm like, thank you, Mike. I appreciate that.
I didn't want to say it in front of Taz.
I
don't want to hurt his feelings.
Like, I know, honestly.
I don't want to hurt Taz's feelings.
By the way, I didn't find that funny either.
I'm pissed. I'm shutting my own mic off. I'm shutting my mic. No, because you guys
don't understand the Minka thing.
None of you people. And AB, you were the only one with a real sense of humor.
Thank you.
I guess you'll just talk over me. You were the only one with a real. I'll lay out while you finish your thought. That goes on forever.
No, it's not. Go ahead.
AB,
you would shut your mic off.
You know what? I am shutting my mic. It's off now. It's done.
All right.
Put my mic on!
I like it,
Dad. You have to understand my. Oh, no doubt. Your life's easier if you say that.
No, no. AB, you were the only guy that I could rely on for a little sense of humor.
That's not true.
I appreciate that.
True. You get so sensitive.
Don't I get sensitive?
Yes, you do.
Oh, my God. I get sensitive.
What?
I got to stand up for this. I get sensitive. Yes. Me. Are you crazy?
You can stand
I
up
get
all you want.
I'll stand up. I'll run in circles. I'm the guy who's sensitive. You're nuts.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
God. Did I blink?
No, I didn't expect you to blink. What did I think to blink about? What did I do?
Nothing.
Why are you going to blink?
I didn't back down. No, yes.
Who's backing down?
Nobody.
I'm not being confrontational. I'm trying to have fun and calm myself down. Because I'm talking about a guy who's not Fitzmagic. And he takes the Fitzmagic name.
Well, he is Fitzmagic.
He's not Fitzmagic. His family don't know. We know as a sports medium, Ryan Fitzpatrick is Fitzmagic.
Well, what is he going to do? What is Ryan Fitzpatrick had an opportunity to do it himself, and he decided not to.
I agree with the Harvard thing. He messed up there.
Well,
you're right.
He should have done that.
But he's just riding the train. The other kid's like, well, let me jump on this. I'm a rookie.
What kind of amount of money are we talking about here?
Not a lot.
Who's walking around with a Fitzmagic shirt?
I saw
what losers doing that.
Two or three different sports products yesterday that talked about this, and I watched a bunch of men and women in a studio laugh. Ha ha! That was foul. That was
men.
He took the Minka did the and everyone laughed. Had a guy, and I'm like, oh, let me bring this up on our show. We'll all have a good laugh. And what do I get? A bunch of dry ass jabronis. I'm turning my mic off
again.
What?
I mean, just do it already.
Name the multiple shows you were listening to. What was it? Get Up.
Alphabetically, please.
Now that was funny. That popped.
What are you watching?
I think it's called Get Lost.
Get Lost. I think. Yeah,
what are you watching?
Get Out. It was called.
Steve
Get Out. I don't watch that.
Is that what you're watching?
It's called Get Out.
What shows are you watching?
Nothing. I don't need I'm not plugging shows. Why do we got to plug shows? Who plugs our show here?
We got people on the network that don't plug our show. Name the shows. I want to know.
I am not naming shows.
It was a show. I want to see where people were laughing hysterically, like they were at a Jim Brewer comedy fest about Minka Fitzpatrick doing Fitzmagic. I want to see that.
It was an NFL Network show. It was...
Oh, come on.
Oh, I got it.
They use a laugh track.
Oh, my God.
Okay, you asked me a question, and you're going to attack my, comments.
No, you're personally attacking me now. NFL Network is...
Fair point, right, Mike? All of a sudden, NFL Network sucks now. That's what you're saying?
But they are ones that are not going to attack anything with the NFL. I mean,
Why does it got to be an attack? Why has it got to be hot takes all the time?
It doesn't have to be hot takes, but I want to know. Okay, so can I answer your question?
I'd love to answer your question.
Okay.
It was an NFL now, and it was, oh, I got it. It was, what's his name? Primetime. 21 in Prime, whatever he calls it.
No, he's not funny.
Deion Sanders?
Can I just say... I'm not saying
he's
funny.
Was he dancing at 21st and Prime?
He didn't dance. He had a hat on, though. He did have a hat on. It was a cool hat.
A room?
I happened to be walking by one of my giant TVs in my backyard, and it was on. And the girl, there was a blonde female who pulled up a tweet from the Dolphins or Minka or somebody said it, and then they talked about it, and everybody, the jocularity in that studio was contagious.
Was the tweet funny?
No, I don't think it was funny. But the conversation was, so that... And why, Moose, he didn't say anything funny.
I don't know. He really didn't say nothing funny.
But your thing is you're going to laugh at anyone but me now, because that's going to make Taz mad. What are we, in middle school? Give me a break.
Deion's terrible.
I'm shutting my mic off.
Deion's terrible.
Put my mic on.
Deion's awful on the air.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Well, I didn't say, all of a sudden, I'm giving a guy like an award?
No.
I'm just telling you what I heard, bro.
So now we're going to base all jokes on the... humor of Deion Sanders.
No, sir.
If Deion laughs, we should all laugh.
Wonderful. That's not what I'm saying. That's a great joke. That's not what I'm saying. I promise you, that's not what I'm saying.
No, you're right, Taz. It was very funny.
I'm not trying to be funny. I'm just telling you that topic, that thing was kind of funny. That's what I'm saying.
I'm sorry, I was wrong.
No, you don't have to apologize because it's disingenuous.
Do you want to do it from the top and we'll laugh this time?
No, AB, you know what I want you to do? I want everyone to get ready with the dump button, what I'm about to say to you, okay?
Pete, do me a favor. Roll it back and we'll all laugh. Just to make Taz feel better.
From the top. In 3, 2, and...
Pitch magic. What's it called, Boos? Let's go to Birmingham, Alabama. Jeremiah, you're on with Taz on the Taz show. You're on with Taz and the Moose.
Keep it going, Taz.
Jeremiah, what's up, Hoss?
What's going on, man?
What's going on, bro?
I just wanted to say I agree with Taz, man. It is funny, man. This guy, man, he just, you know, one of these Alabama players, all that cockiness coming in the league, want to, you know, do something like that. It is kind of funny, man. I appreciate Taz and his rant that he do, man. It's really, really good for radio, man. I really, really like it, man.
Thank you very much, Jeremiah. Yeah. Well, I'm sure my co-host appreciates you complimenting his co-host. Because he always supports his co-host.
I said, well done. I said, yeah, of course.
Thank you, Jeremiah. We have fun here on the show sometimes.
Yeah, we do have fun. I think our bogus take here on it actually made the segment.
Well, you guys can take.
If you go back and listen to the podcast
segment,
later on,
make the segment.
Well, after Bisegli,
you
no
guys
doubt.
Couldn't make a salad. Get the hell out of here! Make
right?
The
yes.
Crazy.
Yes. I've never
get
worked in radio before
oh,
in my life.
Oh God. Oh my God! Please, AB, do the update.
Yes,
I got to go through
before.
The 20 years of radio.
We're at 625 podcasts. Oh.
It's not. I'm not at 625 yet.
No, I understand. We'll find out when you do.
You can make salads.
Don't
worry. I like a nice salad. A little grilled shrimp on it.
Don't worry. We'll all know.
How is this is not Fitzmagic?
No, you're right. Jeremiah is right.
It's not.
It's very funny. Hilarious.
Oh, so this is the part of the show where Moose gets upset because he wasn't complimented by Jeremiah. Right?
No,
that's what we're
going to
go. Now, that puts
Taz,
a, now look at AB. He's not laughing. Look at AB.
No, the laughter has stopped.
Uh-oh.
See that?
Taz got
wrong.
Serious.
That's wrong.
No.
That's wrong. Come on.
Stop, dude. I wanted to get into the conversation later on about what happened after the show.
Let's get Minka Fitzpatrick. That's magic.
The Fitz, Pitts, it's a funny topic. Why
you're
don't
right,
you
it
say
is.
It? It
I'm
is.
Sorry, I'm wrong.
The all guy's right. Not Fitzmagic.
Andrew, help us here. Take it away.
He can't help us.
Brought to you by
he's the wrong guy.
He's a radio professional.
Werner. Minka Fitzpatrick.
Thank you to all the hardworking pros out there. Werner, the official ladder of pros everywhere. The Colorado Rockies visit to Dodger Stadium. Not going well.
Two balls, two strikes, one out. Ottavino to Taylor. And a high fly ball to left. The Dodgers are going to win it on a walk-off by Chris Taylor. 3-2, and the Dodgers lead the Rockies by a game and a half with 10 to play. Taylor, the walk-off winner.
Charlie Steiner on Dodgers Radio. The Rockies arrived in first place by a half game. After two losses, they're one and a half back, as Steiner said. They're also a game and a half behind the Cardinals now for the second NL wild card. St. Louis, an 8-1 win in Atlanta. The Braves have lost four straight overall, 14 of 18 at home. The Cubs, a 9-1 win in Arizona after the Brewers lost to the Reds 3-1, so Chicago's lead atop the NL Central, now 3.5 games. The Phillies beat the Mets 5-2, Washington a 4-2 win in Miami.
Eli McFly just tweeted us, I don't like when mommy and daddy argue, then again makes great radio. Hashtag not funny Taz. Take it away, AB.
Oh, my God.
Instead of clinching the AL East,
Eli McFly, I'm going to look for this one.
The Red Sox lost to the Yankees in the Bronx last night, 3-2.
Oh, my God.
Neil Walker, a go-ahead three-run homer in the seventh inning last night.
That is the best
live track. The A's blew a 4-1 lead on the Angels, losing 9-7 to drop 2.5 games behind the Yanks for the top wild card spot in the AL. Houston blanks Seattle 7-0, and the Indians beat the White Sox 5-3. The Arizona Uber driver that says Jameis Winston groped her in 2016 is now suing the Buccaneers QB. The woman's lawyer says Winston's public apology was hollow, and he still doesn't seem to understand the severity of his behavior. The woman seeking $75,000 in damages. Winston's three-game suspension ends after this weekend. Stanford running back Bryce Love will play this weekend against Oregon after sitting out last weekend with an undisclosed injury. And the Sixers reportedly promoting Elton Brand to general manager. He replaces Brian Colangelo, whom Mikey B saw outside our building yesterday. Guys?
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance.
Let's go to Pennsylvania. Hey, Jared, what's going on? You're on with Taz and Moose on CBS Sports Radio. How's it going, man?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for giving me a good laugh today, guys.
You got it,
Jared.
Funny.
Hey, is the Fitzpatrick stuff funny? Who's I got to ask you this question before you go on with your statement. I have to ask Jared. I'm sorry, Moose. Can I just ask the man a question? I have a question. Who, in your mind, Jared, who's Fitzmagic?
Well, right now it's Ryan Fitzpatrick, but he's been Fitz garbage for since he's been in the league,
though. Now you're going to bury the guy. Okay.
Well,
but you
mean,
get...
come on. Mika Fitzpatrick
Jared's not
going to
be the shoulder
Alabama,
to cry on.
You know, he's... Ryan Fitzpatrick
right, let's
is
get
good
to
now.
The let's get to
you
the Belichick.
Why we can't engage with the quality? You think that it was? I have to ask the man. Do you think it was wrong that he did the trademark gimmick, Mika?
No, I don't. I mean, like you said, Fitzpatrick is a Harvard guy. He should have known. He should have thought about the second
half. Moose said that. Let's give Moose credit. All right, it's your group, Moose. No problem.
Well, I got to give Moose credit. You're giving him credit today, so.
No, I hear you. Moose made a good point about the Harvard thing. I give Moose credit. Moose has a problem giving me credit. That's what happens here in the show. Jared, how can we help you?
No, I'm talking about this Belichick and Brady thing. Like, this is, I think, sports journalism at the worst.
Play the laugh track,
today.
Pete.
When you read this article, basically this guy is quoting someone who thinks he knows what's happening in Brady's mind. Like, that's not journalism. You know, there's no direct quote. There's nothing. Even the source seems kind of shady. And here's the other thing. Like, I have no knowledge of the Patriots whatsoever, but I can probably write a book to say or write an article that says Belichick and Brady don't get along. I mean, does anyone seem to get along with Belichick? This is no story whatsoever in my mind.
Yeah, well, he's...
there are big guys that have gotten... I mean, they've been together for 18 years, so I'm sure the relationship now is a lot different than it was 10 years ago. I'm sure that there are guys that have been there. I mean, ask Vrabel, ask Teddy Bruschi, ask guys that played for Bill Belichick. They understand what it is. I mean, not everything's going to be warm and cozy, but Belichick also looks out for his guys, too, and coaching staff. You ask fellow coaches around the National Football League, Bill Belichick makes calls and helps guys get jobs. So it's not a case it's just all about him, and he doesn't try and help out the cause with other guys in the league. You know, he was, when Greg Schiano was the head coach of Rutgers, Bill Belichick, whose son was a walk-on long snapper for the Scarlet Knights, would be at Rutgers practice. He'd often go down to Alabama practice. He was good friends with Urban Meyer. You look at the coaching tree, I mean, Bill Belichick's going to give you an opportunity and is going to look out for his fellow coaches. Now, Taz, you want to say if you play for him? Yeah, I get it. I get he's going to rub you the wrong way, but we said it before, not everything's going to be fun, but winning is fun. That's what we talked about with Patricia and the Detroit Lions, as Patricia learned, you know, at the feet of Bill Belichick, and Detroit was complaining about the work they had to do during the course of training camp. Well, you have to go above and beyond to consistently win. And they understand that during the course of the year, not everything's going to be great. Bill Belichick's not there to make football fun again. He's there to win.
Yeah. Well, that's his job, as we know, and that's what he does. That's his style. He's not looking. He's been in this a long time. And, you know, I really enjoyed, and we talked about it, I think, right after that. What was it called? The two Bills, the thing on ESPN. Remember that?
Parcells and Belichick.
Yeah. And if any football fan, or no matter if you like the Patriots or you dislike Belichick, whatever your stance is on Bill Belichick, try and watch that online somewhere. Because I'll tell you, I learned a lot about Bill Belichick. I learned a lot about his history in that. And, you know, he had, when he was younger as a coach, as you know, he had it rough. I mean, a lot of those great giant defensive players didn't really respect him or like him. And he had to earn, and he was young. And I think that hardened him. I think he became who he is now. And that's a pot. I'm complimenting the guy the way he coaches. I think a lot of that, he keeps that strong line between player and coach, you know, and he does a good job of that. And that's his reputation. And I think once he ends up retiring, Bill Belichick will always be looked at as a great coach, a winner, and a tough, tough dude to play for.
And very, very difficult replicate what he has been able to do, because you look at the coaching tree and guys that have coached underneath them. It's easy for Belichick to be able to do what he does. He's a brilliant. He is very, very smart, and not just football smart. He's a very, very smart man. And you look at other guys that have coached underneath him that have gone on, which you often see. When successful coaches, guys that coordinators or assistants get other opportunities, those guys widely have not been successful. Patricia, early on in his career in Detroit, we'll see how it plays out there. Bill O'Brien's disappointed down in Houston. Eric Mangini, Josh McDaniels. Those guys have not been great. They just haven't been. Now, it could change, but it's difficult. Oftentimes, that brilliance is single and solely. So it's difficult to find guys and say, all right, well, they learned from him, so they've got to be just as... No, that's not the case.
That's not the case. No, I agree.
It's often not the case, and it's unfortunate for those guys, and they've gotten opportunities, but you've got to be yourself. And like Eric Mangini, Taz, as we saw here in New York, is a perfect case in point. He tried to replicate the personality of Bill Belichick. It just doesn't work.
No.
Just doesn't work.
No. And you know, Moose, what gets me, what's awesome real quick about Belichick, is like you think about this guy, how he came up when he was a college athlete. You know, he played D3 football, D3 lacrosse. He was a captain of lacrosse. He went to Wesleyan, which is a small school up in Connecticut. And he, you know, this is not like some, he didn't have some big fancy D1 experience, as a running back or a quarterback. He was a center and a tight end at a D3 program. High academic school. But I'm just saying, that's impressive to get to where he got, and all these NFL teams, coaching with the Browns, the Pats, the Giants. Well,
yeah, no question. Would you go vegan to beat your arch rival? We'll get into that next. Taz, Moose with you right here, CBS Sports Radio.
Looking for the latest NFL news on Sunday afternoons? Listen to Eye on Football right here on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Interesting take from now Texas A&M head coach Jimbo Fisher, saying that he would go vegan for a year for the Aggies to beat Alabama.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yes. Now, giving up meat, vegan and vegetarian are different. I mean, vegetarian is one thing. Vegan is taking it to a whole other level.
Yeah.
Plant-based. In terms of your diet. I don't know if I'm – would I go vegan for a year to beat Alabama one game? Probably not.
Well, it depends what your priorities are. So if your priorities are food, which in Jimbo's case, it's probably not. And I think he said that in his Twitter exchange he had with some fella.
Right.
You know, he would love to, but he would love to, you know, I think he would love more to beat Alabama, not worry about the vegan stuff.
Right. He said, I love Southern cooking, was going back and forth with Peter Burns from ESPN, said, I love Southern cooking. I can't give it up. Would you go full vegan for a year if it meant you beat Bama this weekend? And Jimbo said, zero doubt. I love winning too much to care about food.
It's funny.
It's easy to say, difficult to do. It's easy for Jimbo Fisher to say. And then once that game goes final and AM wins, and he's walking back to the locker room after the celebration, and maybe his post-game meal usually is like a steak or maybe a rack of ribs or something. And they're like, here's your veggie burger.
And he loves brisket, Jimbo Fisher. A guy named Jimbo should love brisket. I love brisket, too. Meat is great.
Here's your veggie burger with a side of sweet potato fries. He's like, oh, my God, really?
Yeah, some cornbread.
I can't celebrate properly.
Yeah, but see, it's
funny. By the way, no milk. No dairy.
Yeah, no dairy. Yeah, you can't do that. Well, you're a meatless man, right? You don't do the meat now.
I don't, no.
And so you understand this. You're not going. So I have something that could help you and could help Jimbo Fisher.
What's that?
This TV writer, this guy, Kevin Bagel, I think his name is, he put together a vegan brisket experiment. 18 hours smoked over oak, and it's not beef. It looks like it, but it's not. It's a combination of, listen to this, Moose, jackfruit, seitan, miso, beer, Franklin barbecue sauce made with extra sugar so it's caramelized to the crust. So basically, it's a vegan brisket. This is disgusting. Okay, I'm sorry to all vegans out there. People who like plant-based stuff. Okay, if you're going to eat a brisket, you got to eat the beef. I'm just telling you right now. But
yeah,
anyway,
well,
that's
not really brisket. No, I'll pass.
It's vegan brisket.
Really sound like...
Well, you don't do meat, so I thought this might be good. I'm trying to help you.
No, I appreciate it. That doesn't sound all that appetizing, though.
It actually looks pretty good. Look, Moose, look. It looks actually pretty good. Doesn't look bad. You don't think so? It's dry, right?
It doesn't look terrible. It looks a little dry. It doesn't look terrible. No, you're right. It does not look...
It doesn't look horrible.
It doesn't look awful. I don't know if I would eat that.
I enjoy flavor with my meat.
Yeah.
I don't think I would. I don't think I would eat it either.
I don't know if I'd go that route. But
even though I have to tell you, Moose, I like...
I'm sorry.
I was trying to make a point.
Okay.
I don't know how you like your brisket. I like mine on the dry side, but beef. Do you like it like with a lot of sauce on it? You're a brisket guy, right? When you do eat meat?
I like it coming out of the smoker. So what is
it? No, sir. There's different types of brisket. You could have it like a lot of barbecue sauce on it. You could do it dry.
I like a lot of barbecue
sauce. Yeah, I don't either. I like a little hot sauce on it. I don't put hot sauce on it. Dry rub with a little hot sauce. That's my style. Yeah.
Nice.
It's nice. It is good. But some people like it smothered in sauce, and barbecue sauce. Not my style. I could see Pete the Body doing that.
It's easy to make these kind of declarations. I'll give this up. I'll give that up. I'll do it for a year if I get this, if I get that. And then all of a sudden, when it's facing you, it's a night and day difference. So whatever, and Jimbo Fisher made it perfectly clear that he loves Southern cooking. And I'm sure there's other things that it's not like he looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger walking up and down those sidelines. So,
no.
And that's all well and good. That's fine. He doesn't. He's a football coach. But it's easier said than done to say, oh, I'll give up this or I'll do that. I'll go full vegan for an entire year just to beat Alabama. I mean, come on. That's not going to happen. It's all BS.
Mikey B saw the picture of the vegan brisket that you and I were looking at. Vegan brisket. You know what I said that? He said it looks like a scone. Have the social media team tweet that out.
Biscotti, maybe.
Yeah, biscotti. I love biscotti. It's a good cookie. You like biscotti, Moose?
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, it's fine.
It's good.
Yeah.
I got a little excited. You're like, yeah, it's good.
I don't salivate like
it's
you
really
do.
Good.
But
I
love it's
biscotti.
A good
dude, it's a great Italian cookie.
I'm not saying it's not. It's not the top choice.
With a little espresso, get a little snag of a little biscotti, a little finger biscotti.
We all know that you love it now.
It's great, dude.
It's great. That's fantastic.
What do you like, Lorna Dunes?
No, like a good Oreo.
Hey, I respect that. No, I eat now the Oreo Thins, less calories. I eat like 20 of them, though. That's the problem.
Yeah, so I don't have Thins. We don't have them in the house.
Got kids. You're not going to have Oreo Thins. You know what I mean? Like, you're gonna
we don't have any cookies in the house.
No?
No.
Double stuffed Oreos for the kids? Have them run around a little bit, going nuts?
No.
Sugar Rush?
No way.
No.
No cookies in the house.
What are they eating? Carrots and celery? Come on.
Sugar? They'll have some ice cream. They'll have cookies here and there on occasion. Letter cookies. Get them at Trader Joe's.
Those are
fantastic.
Those are actually really good. I know they are.
Letter cookies are great.
Alphabet
there
City.
There we go. Yes. Antonio Brown, no show at work. We'll get into that next. Taz Moose with you. CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.